Go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights and Nerds Do podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with...
Not being run over by a bulldozer, Sam.
And Britney, Shakira, Beyonce, Sean.
How's everyone doing?
At least people get my reference.
Yeah, I know, but I like that. I love that name. Before we started, we were reading off really bad, stupid baby names, and I think number one was Britney, Shakira, Beyonce. Yeah. And... That just makes me smile, and I think there's a baby out there named that.
Plus like, the last name, so add in a fourth.
Like, well, yeah, I don't know how like bad of a name it is, because they could just pick one of those and just go by it. And they get all three names at the same time.
Imagine if it was hyphenated.
Brittany hyphen.
Yeah. Like, dear God.
Just remember, if you're Catholic and get confirmed, you choose a confirmation name.
Right.
Too.
So Madonna.
It's usually a saint, I believe. So
who cares? Madonna's a saint.
Well, yeah, she's close enough to a saint. So.
So there you go, you have four singers.
Right.
Boom. Done.
Boom. So before we start, I have a question.
Okay.
And I want to throw it out to the listeners and hopefully they can answer it. Because I don't know if you guys will be able to answer this. It's a bit about a particular set or subset of American culture.
Oh boy.
Okay, so let me set it up. Particularly gambling culture.
Okay.
So let me set this up. Last night we went to a restaurant in a casino.
Yeah.
Twin River Casino.
Twin River.
Yeah. and we were standing, it was on the upper level, and we were standing just waiting for something, and then we were looking out at the casino, and it's just, if you haven't been, all it is just machines after machines after machines after machines, and people sitting down at every one of them. So we were looking, and we were standing for probably about 5 minutes, a good 5 minutes, and we were looking at one particular row. It was about six down back to back, so there's about 12 people sitting down at this thing, and one of them was pushing. It was electronic, so you push the button and it spins the wheel, whatever it was.
Yeah.
So there's one person out of 12 actually gambling.
Okay.
We sat there for 5 minutes. For 5 minutes, 11 people did not do anything. They just sat there. Not drinking, not talking to anybody else, not doing anything, not even smoking a cigarette, because you could at that
right,
place.
You can't.
You could at that place.
Oh, you can?
Yeah, and half of it.
Really?
Yeah. So we were looking. I was looking down, and then there's 11 people not doing anything. Is there a reason why? You're literally at this machine to push the button, and one person was pushing the button, but why was the 11 other people not pushing the button?
I don't know.
And I'm wondering if there is anybody out there who would know this, because I don't gamble. You guys don't. Yeah. So what's the deal? Are they waiting just for luck to change? I don't know. But if somebody could give me an answer to that one.
I've heard people like hover around waiting for like somebody to give up a machine that's been losing for a while because they think it'll be hot.
Yep. I know so that.
Maybe it's that. They're people all are just, waiting for that one person to leave.
It could like be
vultures.
But it was weird.
Standing on top
weird.
Of
So somebody could fill me in on that, because I'm really curious why they're sitting around. Because yes, I do know like the vulture thing where they're waiting around for somebody who's
that's
losing
my only
to
guess.
Leave. But I mean, I don't know. It's just weird. Hopefully somebody can fill me in. John's not here, so
yeah.
I wish he gambles a little bit, but I don't know. Anyway, if somebody who's listening, you can send us a message on Facebook and just fill me in why the hell that is happening.
KnightsOfNerditude@gmail. You can send us an email. That'd be
throwing
cool.
out the email again, huh?
Yeah. Well,
anyway, today, why don't we get into a few discussions? We have The Terror Season 2. Starts up on Monday. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk the trailer, because I don't think we did.
Nope.
Since it came out. Rumor of the World review, Netflix movie. Detective Pikachu review, which it's already been in theaters, and it's just
it's on DVD now. But you know what? We finally saw it.
Yep. But let's start with box office kind of recap. not recap, but just insight, because Hobbs and Shaw, Sean, you wanted to bring that up?
Yeah, so Hobbs and Shaw had a $200 million budget, and it only made, what, $60 million opening weekend?
$60 opening domestic.
Domestic, which is not good at all for this movie, because they were expecting it to make a lot more than that. Seeing that the last three movies in this franchise have all either come close or broken $1 billion, to see this one do this poorly in the box office, that kind of hurts the franchise.
Yeah. Currently, a week later, it sits at $332 million global.
Global.
And you're saying, what, they're predicting 50% drop, you say?
Yeah, this weekend, which is, like we said, it's normal to see a 50% drop between weekends.
Yeah. It's already it bumps into 500.
Yeah. But the problem right now is it's slowly going up against other, like, movies that people are excited to see. So, like, this weekend it's going up against Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, which was an anticipated movie of the summer, which I haven't seen yet. I will see this movie. I'm actually quite excited for this.
Hey, is next weekend we get The Kitchen, right?
No, that was already up this weekend.
Oh, did that come out this
weekend?
I think
it's out this weekend.
No, I think it's next weekend.
I need to see that.
The Kitchen looks pretty good. Yeah. We talked about that on the...
I didn't check reviews.
Did
yet,
you see... no, The Kitchen came... I think The Kitchen came out this weekend. what's the Rotten Tomatoes score, do you think?
For The Kitchen? Oh, God.
I'm hoping, like, over 60.
How about hoping over 20?
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's not good.
No, so I forget when The Kitchen... I'm pretty sure The
Kitchen
came
out. Oh, yeah,
it
did come out this weekend, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was looking at... Rotten Tomatoes has a 2.1.
That's very disappointing, because that movie looked good.
Right? That movie, we were interested in that movie, too. Yeah. It's the movie with Melissa McCarthy, Kate Moss, and Tiffany Haddish?
Elizabeth Moss. Not
Elizabeth
Moss.
And
Tiffany Haddish, yeah.
Tiffany Haddish, yeah.
Yeah.
It was, DC, Vertigo comic.
Yep. Yeah, which is DC.
But it was about... women who lost their husbands, who were supposed to be taken care of by the mob
but
that they served, but they weren't. So they stepped up, and it looks like they were taking over. So it looked good. Mm. I have to admit, it looked good. I'm disappointed by that number.
I'm curious where it went wrong. This is a movie I'll probably check out when it's on demand. Because I'm not, if it's gotten that horrible reviews, I don't want to give my money. Like $10 and go out and like spend money to go see a movie that like I wanted to be good and it just turned out just was horrible. I don't want
to
give.
That said, you can still go to the movie and like it, even though it
that's
has
true.
Horrible reviews.
That's true.
Look at Godzilla.
Yeah, that was
shall
a
I point
movie.
You to your 10 rating?
Yep, I love that movie. Absolutely love that movie. Anyways, so like I'm disappointed that it. What was the final Rotten Tomatoes?
2.1, I believe.
2.1.
Oh, for Godzilla?
No, for Rotten Tomato for The Kitchen.
2.1, 21.
21. Okay. What was the audience score?
I think it was 60. Somewhere in the 60s.
All right. So the audience likes it a little bit more than the the critics.
20 tomato meter and 67 audience score.
All right, that's not horrible.
Still, if the audience isn't giving it like rave reviews, it's usually like bad.
Yeah,
because like audiences are usually a yes or no crowd.
Yeah,
it's either 10 or 1.
Still, at that point, you're almost at 2/3 are saying yes, which isn't bad.
Yeah,
but even then,
it's scary. It's scary territory there.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, like, it's good if it's a stupid comedy or action movie where the audience is like, yeah, it's pretty good, but the critics give it horrible. This looks like a straight-up drama kind of, like, movie. And to like, have it like that, it's like,
yeah.
The people who are saying yes were like, it wasn't bad. I guess it was okay.
At first glance, it's the story that's what's struggling. Okay. It's not the acting. It's the story.
I could see that. Oh, well.
I can. Good concept, it looks like, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see whenever
just like
we get
everything
a chance
else
to see
DC
it.
Has done.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Good job, DC.
Right?
One job.
All right. Why don't we get into Terror season 2?
All right, Terror.
Only because it starts up on Monday.
Yeah. So this season, obviously, not going with the ship anymore. Which is nice
that we know of.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's a little too slow.
The ship story was
a little too slow.
Like I said, when we were talking about it originally a year ago, I kept up with this show for, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, and the pacing was so slow. It was dry for a show that promised, like, scares and, like a creature feature kind of thing.
Yeah, that's what kind of turned me off on it. Like, I don't mind if a story's slow, and I don't mind if you're making, like, a drama about British sailors in the 1800s or something like that. Okay. Yeah. You could make a good movie out of that, or TV show out of that. But, like, I was promised, like, this scary, almost supernatural mystery story, and that, like, took forever to pan out.
Yeah, I think you quote, saw, like, a glimpse of it of the creature in, I think, the second episode, when the guys are out, like, trying to find people. You see it, like, run by, and it's kind of weird, and it ends up killing them. And then I think the third or fourth episode, it attacks a camp of like one of the ship captains, ends up killing them all in a very gruesome manner, which is cool. But like, it took forever to get to that point to like be like, something's out there that's not a polar bear. Because like, they hint, they're like, oh yeah, it's just a polar bear. It's like, oh, but you watch the preview and like, people are getting like taken off the ship and like, people are screaming. It looks terrifying, and that's not what you got.
That should be a red flag to watching this trailer,
right?
Because this trailer had the same concept. Same thing. There was a lot of suspense and looked like horror.
But instead of it being a creature, it's supernatural. So this takes place during World War II in the Japanese internment camps on the West Coast. There's some kind of spirit that's haunting like photographer. So
it's like that movie Shudder,
I guess,
with Joshua Jackson.
That's a random name to drop.
Well, it's the guy's name in the movie.
I know, but it's just a random name. I would have never remembered Joshua Jackson.
I love Fringe, so I can't forget that name.
Oh, okay. So I mean, yeah, it looks like a haunting kind of show, which could be good. I mean,
I hope we get the terror factor, the actual factor.
George Takei is in this season, which is like the thing that's kind of making me be like, I might actually watch this. So
I'm gonna give it a shot.
I think I'm gonna give it a shot.
I like the concept. What they're doing is they're taking different stories from per season, so it's almost like a Fargo type thing where there's different groups per season.
Yeah.
Hopefully it pans out, because this is a good idea. Well, this is a good concept. So
with this show, which is on the plus, is it's all based off of truth in a way. I mean,
the
obviously,
events itself are true, but the horror spiritual factor a little,
maybe,
give or take.
Because in the first one,
is that true about this season as well?
I believe so.
All right.
Because the first one's based off of a book that's about the terror, the ship that gets stranded.
Yeah.
And then they ended up finding the ship, and there's no one left.
Well, like, no, they never found the ship.
No, they found the ship. They never found the people.
Sure.
I
don't think they ever found the ship either.
I thought they did. Anyways, but I'm gonna, this is AMC. What time? 10 o'clock?
I believe this one's at 9. I just set the DVR for this. I don't remember. Right. It's 8 or 9, though. It's 8 or 9. It's one of the early slots.
Not bad.
I mean, I'll give it a shot so long as they don't spend an entire episode talking about the concept of ice.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's like, no, we'll be fine in winter, but ice. No, we'll be fine.
Ice, you could just break it. And, like, let's talk about the molecular concept of ice. And like, now let's show British Parliament for some reason.
Look, well, you know what?
That was the first episode.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see what we get with this, but I think it's going to be a different story than, or
different pacing.
It's a different formula than your first season of The Terror.
I really hope so.
Yeah. So that starts up, and I think we'll review a couple episodes. Why don't we watch a few and then discuss? So let's move on to we'll save Rim of the World for later.
Ooh.
Yeah. Why don't we do Detective Pikachu?
You want to do that first?
Yeah. Why don't we do that?
All right.
we finally got a chance to see it.
All right.
I never wanted to see this in theaters.
Yeah, why did you watch this? I'm just curious.
It was $3.99 rental.
Exactly, on Amazon?
Yeah, on Amazon. Yeah. And me and Christina were sitting down, and, you know, kid was asleep, and we just needed something to pass the time.
Yeah.
And it was, I want to say it was like 8 o'clock when we started watching this. Full disclosure, I did fall asleep in the middle.
Okay.
And then I rewatched the rest of it the next day.
I was going to say you probably didn't miss much, but...
No. It was one of those like in-out sleeps, and there was one part in the movie where they fall into the water, and then they wake up. And then he says, oh, we need to find a healing Pokemon.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure I fell back asleep once they started walking. And then I woke up about 15 minutes later, and they were still walking. And then I skipped that part when I rewatched it because it was just boring.
All right.
And well, it was literally 15 minutes of just walking to find a rock. Do you remember that?
I remember what part you're talking
about. It was a long walk.
Yeah.
It was a long walk.
That was some solid pokey porn in there.
That totally was.
Yeah.
That whole scene.
That was the part where I'm like sitting on the couch with my dog. And I'm like, look, it's Bulbasaur. And she was like, and then started yelling at the screen because of the Bulbasaur.
You mean barking?
You know her and her scream. That.
I've never heard a dog yell before. But all right.
Any initial thoughts or thoughts on this movie?
I mean, without spoiling it.
Don't spoil it. It's already out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah. So the quote twist ending, you totally see it coming, but then it kind of throws a curveball in there like, oh, maybe I was just wrong thinking that was the case. But then it turns out to be that case. So it's like made me feel stupid for like doubting myself in the beginning.
You predicted that Johnny Evilton was the bad guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. You watch it and you're like, he's obviously the bad guy. But then he's like, no, my son's the bad guy. And you're like, oh, crap. Okay.
But like even then, I was like, I don't know.
But yeah, they portrayed him as like the son is like kind of like evil.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like
Bill Nighy trying to be serious is definitely a bad guy.
Yeah.
Whenever he's not serious, you definitely take him as face value.
But that's the thing. Like, I was like, he's totally the bad guy. And then once you really, like, were introduced to him and him and the son, and, like, even, like, when they did that news thing together and the son was just an ass the whole time, you're like, oh, okay, so it's obviously the whole, like, the dad's the nice guy, the son's taking over.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those two, the bad guys. Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, you knew one of them was the bad guy. But at first, I was like, it's totally the dad. It's totally Bill Nighy. And then they just kind of threw that like curveball that made you doubt yourself, but you shouldn't doubt yourself. You should always go with your gut.
I'll say this: the one twist I didn't see coming was that Ryan Reynolds was his dad.
Yes, that was an awesome twist.
I didn't see that. Like even while I was watching it, I knew like they weren't showing the dad's face. So I was like, oh, so clearly it's someone we've seen.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't put it together. And I don't know if I was just like, I was just bad or the movie was that good.
No, I was sure.
I doubt the movie was that good, but
no,
was a point where I knew it was his dad. And it was before then. I think it was one of those scenes where the kid's crying, which is multiple.
Yeah.
But the kid's crying and they're talking outside. And then the girl shows up in the SUV. I'm pretty sure it was that point where I'm like, Ryan Reynolds, this is easily his dad. This is his dad. I figured it out beforehand, but it wasn't a surprise to me.
I think I figured out that like his dad was in Pikachu's body before I figured out it was going to be Ryan Reynolds. Like when Ryan Reynolds showed up at the end, I was like, oh yeah, that just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So this movie, the acting's not great. The story's really generic.
CGI is... okay.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad for Pokemon.
I mean, you're not expecting hyper realistic Pokemon, but they are realistic Pokemon, which is nice.
Yep. But
you got to see a bunch of bunch of Pokemon.
Mainly Gen 1, which is awesome.
But there were scattered other Palm Apes
and those panda things.
The big things.
Yeah, the giant turtle things.
Apalm.
Yep. There were a bunch of bird types that were flying around that were Gen 2 plus. But mainly most of the story consisted of Gen 1, which was awesome.
So, you had all those problems. But damn it, I enjoyed Ryan Reynolds' Pikachu.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed
like,
this movie.
I really enjoyed that part. Like, it was fun. Like, he was funny, it was enjoyable. Everything else about this movie sucked.
Yeah, he couldn't save it, though. That's the problem. He couldn't bring it up to the next level. Even Kim Watanabe couldn't like, escalate it a little bit.
Like, it's like, for me, it's like he got the head above the water. And it's exactly how I felt watching the trailers to this, where I was like, every bone in my body's telling me this is going to be a bad movie, but damn it, I have to see this movie. Except I couldn't pull myself to go see it because I was ashamed. So I had to sit in the home in the dark, making sure nobody watched me. But like
crying,
like, why do I enjoy this? But it was a fun time. So long as Pikachu was talking. Everything else was like, now that's stupid, or wow, that's just some bad acting.
Very generic plot.
Yeah. Like, I really enjoyed when he was talking to, like, Psyduck.
Yes.
It kept going off about him being a bomb.
Because he is.
in the car. Yeah. The car ride.
They had to listen to the soothing music to keep him from getting a headache.
Right?
Psyduck is low-key in an awesome Pokemon because of the headache.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, he is. He's pretty powerful.
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
No, but like, this is like literally Pokemon. Like, this isn't the movie. This is Pokemon. Yeah.
No, I get like, that, but...
Yeah.
I just don't like...
It was weird hearing, other than Pikachu, weird forms of their voices, because they weren't all voiced by the actual cast members of the show, except for Pikachu. Pikachu was the only one actually cast by the woman who does Pikachu's voice in the cartoons.
Honestly, I would never have picked that up if I didn't even look for it.
Yeah.
Honestly, it wasn't even a point where I cared that much.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, Chris, I respect your opinion, and you know what? You're right. This is a bad movie.
I would not go as far as this is a bad movie.
But, like, for some reason, this, like, Ryan Reynolds' Pikachu just touches something in me, and, like, it's a consensual touch, but
yeah,
it's just, you know, it just does something for me that I can't explain, and I'm kind of ashamed of it, but...
Do we want to rate it? It was this year, right?
Yeah. It was this year. It was this...
Numbers? Why don't we February? Give numbers well, for this thing?
Yeah, we have to. I feel like I'm going to rate it the highest by far.
Probably. But where's the...
Oh, the pen.
I got to find marker here.
Oh, shit.
It was a perfect pass.
Sorry.
I feel like we need someone to narrate what's going on in the room for people.
Sean, what are you at?
I'm going with a solid 8. Yeah!
Wow,
I thought it was a great movie, not an amazing movie, but it was better, definitely better
Sean
than Shazam and Captain Marvel.
2018,
I guess so.
Just all over the place.
Well, no, my lowest is Io, and Sam? It stands there.
I'm gonna go 7-1.
7-1.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna go 6-4.
All right, so. I put it on par with I Am Mother. And, yeah. Okay.
I don't compare it with others, so I can't really.
Okay.
Well, I'm trying not to anymore, because then you just...
Oh, see,
your numbers are skewed that way.
Eh, not really. I just look at it, I'm like, yeah, it was better than Captain Marvel and Shazam, but it wasn't better than Spider-Man, so... That's where it lands. It lands between those three movies.
I can't. All right. Next one. Next one, Netflix original.
Oh, Rim of the World?
Rim of the World.
Yep. I told you guys about this because I watched it randomly.
Yep, last week, right?
It was a couple weeks ago I watched it. It's about a bunch of kids go to summer camp and then aliens attack. And it's them trying to save the world and kind of like a coming of age kind of movie. It was written and directed by Mick G, who is known as the main producer on the Supernatural series.
He's also director of Charlie's Angels, Terminator Salvation.
Yep.
We Are Marshall.
Yep.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
So those are the big ones.
Yeah. He's done work before. This isn't his first movie. Based on that, it had its moments where it was actually kind of funny, like, and I was enjoying it. But there were also parts where I was like, oh my God, this is stupid. But for what it was, where it's like, it's an alien attack, there's kids, like, you just have to take it as it is kind of thing. You're not expecting, you know, Independence Day style, like, storytelling and effects and stuff. It's like, this is literally like alien attack on a small level, and like, it's literally kids. Because the fact that kids save the world is kind of ridiculous upon, like, on itself.
I guess.
Wait, they do save the world?
Of course they do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, because, yeah, they so do. They need to take this key to this laboratory, and that laboratory will destroy the mothership.
Oh, so the magical MacGuffin.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Goober.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Goober, if you will.
I can agree with you that it's a, I wouldn't say it's a coming of age. Maybe a little bit for some the characters.
You have the main kid who is coming.
That's the only coming over of age his one. That's the only coming of age story.
Plus, you have the rappers, or not the rapper. He's the car salesman's son who starts off three quarters of the movie as rich and pampered, and then all of a sudden he's like, the car dealership is gone. He's going to jail. It's like, I didn't get that sense from when I was in his house, like showing. Like this kid's life.
Neither did I.
Like,
it's just something's not the presentation of their life.
Yeah.
Was completely different than what it actually was.
Right.
And it could have resonated more if you did it differently.
Yeah. Like I feel like, yeah, like that could have been true. But what we saw in the beginning with that kid and how he's like the whole time, like he's got the expense of everything, like he's entitled to everything, and then all of a sudden he's like, my dad's going to jail, I'm losing everything, I have no money. Like, you don't get that sense until he says that, and then you're like, oh. And then you still don't have that feeling for the rest of the movie.
No, yeah, no, I get you.
I want to be a detective moment?
No.
So it was not that out of left field.
No, it's, I don't know. I couldn't find any entertainment in this. Yeah. Almost all the time for the entire first half of the movie, there were so many cringeworthy moments, not like Stranger Things awkward moments that you could imagine yourself being in, but cringeworthy moments where it's the interactions between these two are so bad, the director should have done something differently or gave them a different point of view.
Yeah.
Because the first half of the movie, that older kid, the taller one, was doing way too much overacting. Mm-hmm. He was very much opening his mouth, trying to get words out. He's trying to be over clear with his... It just didn't work. The first half of the movie just did not work at all. But I give them credit for having 20 minutes of that and then just take off.
Yeah.
And then that's just aliens attack and then go.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I would have liked...
If they did 40 minutes or 30 minutes of build-up, with character development, I guess.
I mean, for lack of a better term, movie was an hour and a half, which wasn't bad, which is actually honestly perfect for like Netflix movies in general.
From what we've discussed at every other Netflix movie, that is the time slot.
So
that's what you need.
This didn't drag like some movies do.
It didn't.
So it was kind of the perfect kind of like go. Though I was unsure who the target audience for this movie actually was.
That is my major question.
Because it's like, it's about a bunch of 12-year-olds. So you're like, oh, so maybe it's focusing on kids. But they swear. There's, in a sense, gore. there are a lot of scary moments. So, like, if this was released into theaters, it would be a hard PG-13 movie.
Yeah, and then you look at, all right, well, would teenagers like this? And then you're like, all right, well, at that point, you're flirting with, it has to look good. And then, you know, it didn't look great, but it didn't look bad. Better.
The aliens were pretty cool. I mean, they didn't look...
But the CGI itself CGI, wasn't really...
Yeah, but, like, the concept of the alien, though, being, like, that goo kind of thing, reproducing, creating that dog.
But once you hit that demographic of teenager, it's... All right, well, then you add a little bit of sexual tension in there, which was very weirdly a little bit. Yeah, and then,
but it was to the point with, like, it's little kids, so it's like, what are they going to do? They're going to kiss.
It doesn't seem hands. Like they figured out who they were going for. Yeah.
Yep.
And it seems like they may have figured out, oh, let's go for kids, but then they did it wrong.
Yeah.
I think the target audience must have been just people bored on Netflix.
Which is how Netflix, I think, does a lot of their... Yeah.
their but I blame a lot on McGee for this one, because he was the writer and director. And so, like, for the target audience, I mean, he should have known who he was going for, and I don't think he understood who he was going for. I would have liked a little bit more backstory on the girl, because
the astronaut or the Asian girl. Yeah, where did she come from?
It's like a quick line where she's like her dad disowned her because he wanted a son, and so, but why'd she go to the rim of the world? Like, why'd she end up there?
Right?
Because, like, how she got to the States was kind of funny. Like, how she...
Yeah, where are you from? And I get that you had a pamphlet, but...
A little bit of a backstory would have been nice.
Yeah, that would have been... Because the pamphlet got to her there, and because she goes, oh, my dad wanted a son. Yeah, but that doesn't explain why you carried it, and why you did the pose at the top of the rock.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of gaps.
Yeah.
There's a lot of gaps that you wanted to be filled.
And, like... I mean, this... I feel like this movie definitely had promise... But it just didn't deliver.
I still don't even think this had a lot of promise.
It's not to the point
where it should not have been made.
No.
But it's very much flirting with that line. Because what's the Io? Not Io. Yeah. OA? No.
Damn.
What's the Io? One with Anthony Mackie?
Io.
Is it Io?
Yes.
That's very much should not have been made.
Yes. No.
This
no
one
chance.
Is flirting with, for me at least, this one's flirting with that.
No, I think it should have been made, but they... Early on, they should have said, who's our target audience, and then make a movie towards that.
Yeah.
Because it has a lot of, you know, aiming for that young adult kind of thing, but then at the same time, it has some where it's, like, aiming for, you know, a more mature audience with, like, the aliens and whatnot.
You know what I bet McGee did? And because Netflix is pretty much throwing money at every director and writer and be like, just make it. I bet you McGee went up and be like, I can make a kid coming of age alien attack movie for $20 million. And I think that's what Netflix is like. $20 million? Done. McGee, yeah. Charlie's Angels, you know.
Supernatural.
Terminator Salvation, we got that.
His name is McGee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
M-C-G.
But it's...
McG.
I think they put it out there because of the movies that he's done.
Yeah.
The he's movies, known not in the shows, business. But no, the movies no, that
I,
he's
I,
done.
I know that. It's just like... McGee. Like, that... That was the name you chose to be called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
That could be his not full last name, but that could have been his last name, like McGallant or something like that. I don't know.
I can't recommend this
one. He still chose it.
Yeah, I don't think I could recommend this one.
Recommend it.
I went in there kind of like, because Amy was going to watch it, and I was like, no, I'm a little interested in seeing that. Like, wait for me. And then now that I've watched it, I'm like, I'm not upset that I watched it, but I'm like, come on, that could have been better.
Yeah, I guess.
See, I just saw it on Netflix and went, that's going to be bad. And then I moved on with my life.
Yeah.
What we want to rate this?
You go first. I went first last time.
Five.
I was going to say like 5.2.
Okay. Well, let me write
that. 5.2, by the way, not 5 as well.
5.2?
Yep.
5. You want to do this?
Yeah, we can do that one now.
All right. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So, long time ago, this little movie called How to Train Your Dragon 3 came out. I saw it in theaters. Chris, did you go see it in theaters?
No, I really wanted to, but I didn't have to.
You ended up watching it on demand?
I think I rented it,
like that. Yeah.
So, I know. I bought that. Oh, boy. I bought that, yeah.
Oh. I mean, eventually I'll buy it because I own the other two.
just for OCD. Just,
you got to complete the trilogy kind of thing. But yeah, so that movie came out. It's been, I think this is the third studio, different studio. So each one was put out by a different studio, which is kind of amazing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So based on that, I mean, they're all DreamWorks, but like the distributor studio, I think it is, it was different for all three.
Distribution is, DreamWorks is the one who...
They're created, the animating studio.
Yeah, so they did all that stuff. Distributors, right. Or whatever. Right. It's just putting it out there.
Right.
So it's the trilogy. It's the conclusion
literally a conclusion.
A story that is... I mean, the first movie was... I think the first movie was fantastic. Yeah, I thought it was a great story, a great bonding story between father, son,
and
son,
friend. Has a sort
of
downer ending, which you don't normally see in a kid's movie.
What, the first one?
Yeah. How he loses his leg at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Like, at the normal kid's movie, he would have been fine.
Yeah, but it's a very much a PG.
Yep.
PG-13 style movie, but it's a cute little story. You have fun when you're watching it, and... Mm-hmm. And I was in my high 20s at that point.
Yeah.
And it's been the same for the second one, and you expected the same for the third. It's the conclusion of a story that you like.
Yeah.
And I think the conclusion was great.
Yeah,
the ending was fitting, and it was kind of perfect how they did it. My gripe with this movie is it's more of the same. It's Dragon Hunter trying to hunt dragons. It's been that way for the first three movies.
My biggest gripe with this,
or all three movies,
for this movie, and it's unfair because it's been so long since the second one came out that I forgot a few things. I mean, I remember that his dad dies at the end of the second one.
Yep.
Like that one, that I remember, and how like everybody's got dragons and whatnot. But then his mom comes back, or his mom's alive. Totally forgot Kit Harington was in the second one, though. As, like, random character, I totally forget his name. And so this whole movie, I'm watching it, I'm like, I don't know about this random dude. I don't remember him. And then it gets to the end of the movie, I was like, oh, he was in the second one. I totally forgot about that. Like, the whole time, I thought he was, like, a double agent kind of thing working with the other guy, and it was going to come to that conclusion. Totally forgot that Kit Harington was in the second one. Such a throwaway random character that...
But you're right, though. It has been a while. And it wasn't really a throwaway because he was bad, but then he became on the good side, and then he took his dad's dragon. He became the rider for that dragon.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
But I totally don't remember that.
Yeah, it's but this franchise has been going on for a while. I think, years?
Yeah, first one, no, more than seven. It's been about 10 years, something like that.
Really?
Yeah,
See, they've been building out this franchise, though, because they have the shows on Netflix now, and then there's a bunch of other shows that came out for the Dragon.
Yeah.
How to Train Your Dragon.
The racer, which, if you look at those, they've got generally positive reviews, and they basically have the same voice cast.
Yeah, which is something that a lot of shows cannot say, particularly for animated stuff. So, I don't know. I like this. I like this tie-up. I think it was a natural progression where Hiccup is now an adult, and he's the chief, and he's eventually got to marry, and... You know, things like that.
To give you an idea, so the first one came out in 2010, second one 2014, third one 2019.
Right, so every 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. That's a long time between animated movies.
Yeah, and that's why I think, I don't know the delay, but it's a good period in between that you just can kind of pick up right back up and... Yeah. You're going. You're already moving.
I mean, like, this is a movie where I was excited to go see it. Like, how often do you get excited to go see an animated movie that's not by Pixar?
True. But no, I had fun. At this whole franchise, I had fun. And this was a nice conclusion to it. The only thing I didn't like is, the regurgitation of it's a dragon hunter who wants to hunt dragons. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I think the progression of Hiccup was great. I think the progression of Toothless was even better because he's starting to learn how to fly
without
him. And then, you know, that was touching how they all let go of their dragons.
Yeah. That was sad. That was a very sad moment.
It was, but then you're like, it's not the end. You're saving them essentially. Right. And then,
yeah, but I think they're essentially no one's ever going to see their dragon ever again.
Yeah.
Except for Hiccup and,
the meetup at the end with him and his kids and then Toothless and his kids. Yeah. I thought that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was by far the perfect ending for that. It couldn't have been better. The way they did that, it couldn't have been better.
I was quite happy with the ending.
Yeah, I was. I thought this was a really good movie. The franchise as a whole, I thought was very, very fun. Cute story. Yeah.
This whole franchise, I feel like, is very underrated as a franchise. Not many people talk about it.
No, but there are things not to like, but yeah, I liked it.
But come on, it's Vikings and dragons.
That's the thing. A lot of people probably wouldn't watch this.
It's Vikings and dragons.
It's a little bit more of an adult kid.
Yeah.
Not an adult kid, but more like almost a teenager that would actually enjoy this.
Just like most things that DreamWorks has done over the years, it's more of a mature audience will enjoy it, and the kids will also like it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's enticing to the parents and the kids. So
we have to fill in the rating for it.
Yeah. I was going to go 8-1.
8-1. I'm giving 7-7.
Okay.
Only because I don't think this is the strongest one of the three. I think there's a bunch of... I don't think the comedy was as good as the first two.
Yeah.
And I think that the story itself was very much regurgitation of the other two as well.
Yeah.
Voices, you can't really do much. It's the same. So it's just a steady footing.
Right.
But all right, let me fill those in.
Hold on. All right. So I was an 8-1. Ooh, we have a random line for some reason in there. And 7-7. Okay. So, yeah. Is this on DVD yet? Or is it?
Yeah.
I know it's on demand.
Yeah. No, it is.
All right. So, yeah. If you enjoyed the first one or even the first two, I would definitely recommend this one. Check it out.
All right. All right. Should we wrap this up?
Yeah, one last little bitty news. CW has their crossover coming up this year, Crisis on Infinite Earths. They officially cast Bruce Wayne, which is awesome.
Yeah, and who is Bruce Wayne?
Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from all the animated series. He's going to be playing elderly
Batman.
Bruce Wayne, which is amazing. Like, that is a huge fan service right there.
It should be. Now, do they get a Batman? Did they say whether or not they want a Batman?
I don't believe so. Because he's an elderly Bruce Wayne, so this is retirement Bruce Wayne. So if at that point, if that's the case and they do get a Batman...
Well, if it's Infinite Earths, it could be a different Earth that's Bruce Wayne. So it's not the first time they would do that. But I think Oliver Queen did mention Bruce Wayne once in the shows.
He did on season 3, I believe.
Yeah.
When he was running for mayor.
Yes. He's like, I'm no Bruce Wayne or something.
So
it's there.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, the plus side with Bruce Wayne is he's kind of like Oliver Queen where he doesn't have special powers.
True.
You know? So he's a grounded, you know, superhero, just like Batwoman. So I'm assuming he's going to be in that universe because I believe Batwoman is his cousin or something like that. They are related somehow. Cousins. So I'm assuming he's going to be with her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She'll be in the crossover.
Yes.
She'll be in the crossover. But she doesn't have her own show yet, right?
Is
that a mid-season premiere?
It might be. I thought it was. I haven't watched these shows in forever. But I thought they'd already aired. Maybe it's about to air.
Yeah, you got to catch back up.
I got to. I mean, I'm going to watch Crisis on Infinite Earths. I did that last time.
If anything, just watch the Arrow and fill it in. Because I hate to say it. I don't want to say it, but I've said it many times. Arrow is still the best one of the four. Legends of Tomorrow is so campy right now. I'm done. I'm done with that. But because of the end, and it ends after 10 episodes, you gotta go through it. You gotta watch it.
I have to.
I'm wondering if... I could probably find this online, but I'm pretty sure the Batwoman one is gonna, or the Batgirl is gonna,
Batwoman,
is going to take the slot of Arrow mid-season. Because it's only Arrow stops.
Hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting.
It should be, because apparently, we're going a little bit off the rails here.
Well,
Arrow ends in Infinite Earth. He knows that he...
Okay, so that's the end of Arrow? Is in a crisis yeah. on Infinite Earth?
Hey, do you care if I spoil, not a little bit, but... Yeah, I guess it's spoiling a little bit.
I guess.
So in the last crossover, the guy says... He makes a deal. Arrow makes a deal with the guy saying, save Barry and Supergirl, and then I'll do something. That was the deal. Yeah. And then he's basically going to sacrifice himself in the crisis of Infinite Earth
mm-hmm.
to save those two.
Okay.
So the guy at the end of Arrow picks him up. He knows he's going to die.
Okay.
He knows he's going to die. But, I rewatched Arrow. Or I rewatched... It was either a crossover or something else. Where somebody says, somebody from the future is fighting Arrow, and he says, Green Arrow, they say you've lived to 87 years old.
Okay.
And they said that. Now, that could be a massive flaw.
Right.
Because if they're doing the crossover thing and he goes, he's not 87 years old right now. Oh, he's, yeah. He's younger, obviously. But they're obviously not going to fix it, but people will have to forget that.
That's hard.
Just something to bring up, because they said you live to 87, I think, and then they're like, all right, well, you're sacrificing yourself to do this, and you're clearly not 40.
Right.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, on that bombshell.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, this is a bombshell. We're under an hour.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Well, let's wrap it up. Go.
If you like all our rare episodes, you can find them on Podbean's iTunes and Stitcher. Please send us a note on Facebook.com/ Knights of Nerditude, yep. And leave us a review on iTunes. That does help as well. Until next week,
let us know about those gamblers.
Bye.
Yes.